Hey, folks. I'm excited. I'm excited to be talking to our next guest. Candace Platter, how are you tonight?
I'm great.
You know,
it's
afternoon
here.
That's right, Vancouver, British Columbia. I was looking at my notes. It's been almost 6 months since we've talked.
No, really?
It was in June.
Wow. Oh, the time has gone so fast, Larry.
And what, of course, what brought us together is you wrote a great book, Loving an Addict, Loving Yourself. You focus on an area that I haven't run across anyone else who focuses. You help the loved ones who are living with someone who's addicted. Is that fairly put?
That's a fair statement. That's my specialty, is working with the loved ones. I also do some therapy with the addicts themselves, but primarily now I'm working with the loved ones because, you know, there's a lot of help out there for people who are addicted, especially to mind-altering substances, but even gambling and, you know, eating disorders and things like that. There is a lot of help out there for people, certainly more than there is for the loved ones. There's very little help and assistance available to them, and not too many therapists like myself are dealing with that. So, you know, they need people to help them.
You know, for our new listener, go to prescriptiondictionradio.com, prescriptiondictionradio.com. We've got you on the guest page. You go to the guest page, you just scroll down a little bit, and your book is right there. And it's, again, Loving an Addict, Loving Yourself.
Mm-hmm. And the workbook has been out for about a year. That's the book that goes with the first book. That just won 2 USA Book Awards last week, so I was really thrilled with that because it doesn't usually happen for workbooks. So, yeah.
That is spectacular. You know what? Before we delve into, we're going to talk about the holiday season. Most of us, a little bit older, can't believe the holidays are upon us so quickly. But before we talk about your most recent article, I want to one more time reiterate what originally brought us together, and that was something that you wrote way back. When did you write? I think my dates are confused. I'm not even going to try to figure out when you last wrote it. But you were surprised at how few doctors are educated in addiction medicine. That's basically what that article was about. Are you still, even 5 months later, surprised that we have a medical profession that doesn't understand addiction better?
I am so surprised about that. Yep. Because I still have clients coming to me who are on these medications, and, you know, they can get as much of them as they want from their doctors, and they're becoming addicted to them. And that's exactly what happened to me many, many years ago. It was 25 years ago for me that, well, actually, no, it was more like 40 years ago for me that I first developed Crohn's disease. And at that point, the doctors didn't really know what to do, so they gave me lots of Valium and codeine and Demerol, and they would give me lots of that as much as I wanted, I think primarily to get me out of their office because they didn't know how to help me.
Right.
But, you know, I just used them as prescribed for years and years and became completely addicted to them. And what surprises me so much is that 40 years later, that's still happening.
And more than ever before. It's unbelievable.
How can doctors not know what OxyContin does to people? How can they not know that? Even if they're not educated, you know, even if they didn't get the education or they're not attending workshops or seminars, even if they're not, they're seeing it on the news, they're reading it in the paper. How can they not know? And yet, they continue to prescribe drugs like these. That one might be not the right one to use because there's such a kerfuffle about it right now, but there are all kinds of Percocet and different kinds of painkillers that doctors still just merrily prescribe. I have to wonder myself whether that comes from getting any kickbacks from the pharmaceutical companies. I don't know that for fact because I'm not a medical person, so maybe you know more about that. But it just really irritates me when I hear about them prescribing these medications for people. I just hope they're thinking about what they're doing and can sleep at night.
Well, I don't know how they sleep at night. I'm as cynical as you are. I think it's as simple as just having a person have to come into the office every month. I think it's just repeat business.
And what I want to say is, I mean, having Crohn's, I know what chronic pain is about. I understand chronic pain. I understand medical marijuana because that was a drug I used as well. But there are other ways to deal with pain, and I'm not saying that nobody should ever take a painkiller, but I am saying that it's a dangerous route to go, and if you are going to use painkillers, please be aware, please educate yourself about the problems that can come from that.
Well, the radio show is real simple, Candace. This radio show is about distribution. There's a line between pain and drug distribution, and when you finally get someone to come into your office on a monthly basis and they're not getting better and they're continually being given narcotics to the radio show standards, that's drug distribution.
Mm-hmm.
But listen, we're transgressing because I don't want to lose focus on...
Can I just say one more thing
absolutely.
Before we go on to something else?
Sure.
Can I do that?
Absolutely.
Okay, I was watching a TV show the other day. It's was one of the soap operas that's on that I've been watching for a long time. Got hooked on it when I was sick and couldn't do much more than watch TV. It's The Young and the Restless. One of the characters recently had back surgery, and I actually like this soap opera because it brings in real issues. It talks about real stuff that's happening in the world. And so one of the characters had back surgery and is beginning to become addicted to the painkillers. Now, when you watch a show like this, you have to suspend your disbelief, right?
Uh-huh.
Because what this character did was he made a phone call. He asked to talk to his doctor. He was immediately put through to his doctor. Like, how often does that happen, right?
Uh-huh.
And just was able to say to his doctor, you know what? I'm kind of running out of these pills, and I think I need another. I can't find the script that you gave me for them, and I need some more. And you know what? I seem to be having a little bit more pain than I thought I was going to have, so maybe you could up the dosage. And what we're led to believe is that the doctor said, yes, that's fine. And the character said, thanks, doc, hung up the phone, done deal.
That was a recent incident on TV?
Yeah, well, it's a fictional show.
But still being fictional, the fact that they're depicting that.
But I think where they're going with this is that they're going to be showing the dangers of addictive painkillers. They're going to be showing, this is what they're leading up to, is showing the dangers of having doctors doing that. And I was like, yes, okay.
All
bring
right.
that to our awareness.
Young and Restless.
Yep.
When's it on?
Daily. You'd have to check your listings, but... yeah, it's a good, you know, it's talked about alcoholism, it's talked about rape, it's talked about a whole lot of issues that are really important, and I think this one's heading in that direction, so you might want to check it out.
It sounds positive because we've waited a long time for the media
mm-hmm.
to start catching on to the realities.
Yep, exactly.
You know,
so now we can move along, but I just really wanted to say something about that.
No, on November 7th. Well, let me clarify, nothing is censored on this show, Candace, so never have to ask for a reason to say what you're saying. Dealing with an addicted loved one during the holidays, you posted that November 17th, just before Thanksgiving. Where was that published?
Well, that was published in two places. One is my own blog on my website, which is www.candaceplatter.com, and it's CANDACE. P is in Peter, LATTOR. So I have a blog on there, and it was also published in an online newspaper here in Vancouver called the Vancouver Observer. Great newspaper, and might be of interest to people all over the, you know, North America, all over the world, just to take a look at it. It's a wonderful online paper, and my blog is called Psyched.
Well, your first sentence, your
psychology.
Vancouver Observer.
Yes.
You write, in truth, the Christmas season is the most difficult time of the year for people who love someone struggling with addiction.
Mm-hmm.
Who else has written that? I don't think I've ever seen that.
Hmm. Yep, it's really, really true.
It says here, the one thing, I'm paraphrasing here, so I'm going to need your help. It says here, the one thing that we learn, that we pretend to say that everything's okay. I thought that was a very insightful comment. We pretend that everything is okay.
Well, you know, a lot of people who are involved in relationships with addicts or alcoholics, when I say addicts, I'm talking about addiction across the board. So, again, I'm talking about alcohol and drugs. I'm talking about gambling and eating disorders and smoking and sex addiction and codependency and compulsive overspending, like on Black Friday, talking right. about any kind of addiction. But people who find themselves in these relationships as loved ones, sometimes they're addicted to something themselves, but often they've grown up in families where addiction is prevalent. And what happens is that they learn that, you know, when the going gets tough, the tough go shopping, or the tough overeat, or the tough get drunk.
Right.
And they learn how to do this, and instead of, they also feel the shame of this. A lot of children feel like they're the only ones in the world that are going through this, that no other family would be like this. You know, they don't invite other kids over to their homes. They pretend that everything is fine, right. and they learn how to pretend that everything is fine. If Dad's drinking every night, Mom's maybe pretending that everything is fine.
I want to continue this because it's fascinating. You're talking about the dynamics within a family. You're talking about the dynamics within a loving relationship. Can you stick with us, Candace? We have to take
sure.
a quick 2-minute
sure.
break. All right, Candace Platter, Prescription Addiction Radio, Breaking the Silence.
Steve Hayes, former director, Novus Medical Detox. Why Novus?
Well, I think the primary reason someone should consider Novus is that we get results. We have a proven track record in getting results. We have been able to help people come off of drugs without undue discomfort and in a way that they actually feel so much better after they leave us because we use the finest in nutrition and we also are aware that many times people are on drugs and they stay on drugs because of nutritional deficiencies that have occurred. That's why Novus.
Novus Medical Detox. Call 800-505-6604, 800-505-6604. For you or a loved one, Novus Medical Detox. Larry G. here again. Every week I remind you about the radio website, prescriptionaddictionradio.com, prescriptionaddictionradio.com. During the show, I ask you to send comments. Now I'm asking you to go to the shop page and order a T-shirt. Go to the shop page. It is a way of you saying you support the message of the radio show. I am asking you to order a T-shirt if you believe in the radio message. The T-shirt is overpriced, but postage paid. Order a T-shirt if you believe in the radio message. Or maybe it's time for your organization or business to begin to sponsor the message this radio show brings. Become a sponsor. Show your community you care. Show your employees you care. Go to prescriptionaddictionradio.com. Prescriptionaddictionradio.com. Either order a T-shirt or contact me to become a sponsor of this show. I need your support to continue this message. If you believe in this message, go to prescriptionaddictionradio.com. Prescriptionaddictionradio.com. Larry G. again for Suncoast Rehabilitation Center. If you or a loved one is suffering from drug or alcohol addiction and needs more than a 28-day program, please call Suncoast. Suncoast Rehabilitation. 28 days is not enough for most people. Suncoast is a true long-term recovery facility with a success rate 28-day programs can't compare with. Recovering and treatment can't be done alone, and many people need more than the promises 28 days bring. Suncoast Rehabilitation, 800-511-9403, 800-511-9403, or go to prescriptionaddictionradio.com. Look for Suncoast at the top of the home page.
Now, if you test a drug on a rat, and the rat dies...
correct.
Do you think they moved to cats and dogs? But in this case, it can cause anxiety, irritability, high sensitivity to noise in a rat.
Right.
And where do you move it to?
A person. Of course.
What a drag it is getting old. Kids are different today. I hear every mother say, mother needs something today to calm her down.
And now, more of the Prescription Addiction Radio Show with our host, Larry G.
Back with Candace Platter. Go to prescriptionaddictionradio.com, prescriptionaddictionradio.com. Go to the guest page. Scroll down. Candace's book, Loving an Addict, Loving Yourself. Also, Candace, you indicated you have your own blog page. And, of course, Candace is C-A-N-D-A-C-E. And Platter is P-L-A-T-T-O-R. Is that .com?
.com, yeah.
All right. Hey, Candace, before we get back to discussing the loved ones and how they're affected, especially during the holiday season, you know, we have the BanOxyContin.com petition up, BanOxyContin.com. We have almost 12,000 signatures. But Candace, the very last one that was put up about a day ago, 2 days ago, it says, lost a friend to Oxy, just recently had to... I just recently had to walk away from a girl I really loved after finding out she's addicted, and it hurts in a way foreign to my feelings. I feel helpless, mad, sad, and confused. I thought about you when I read this. Can I pursue and fight for her or walk away from someone who I care about? And then he indicates we have to get rid of the product that's causing the deep feeling that he has.
Well, we have to get rid of the product, but we also have to understand that addiction to anything, including oxys, is a symptom of something that's deeper. And what is it that people are trying to run away from by using these kinds of addictive behaviors and addictive medications? So that's a really amazing question that he's asking, is do I stay or do I go? You know, and I guess... The general answer I would give to that is if she's ready for help, you stay.
Right.
And you know, and be there 100%, but not 101%, not 102%. You know, don't work harder than she's willing to work. But if she's willing to get help, if she's ready to do it, if she's finished with this, and she, even if she's terrified to be finished with this, stay there. But if she's not, there's really nothing that you can do for her. And, you know, I really believe that the two most difficult emotions for people to feel and to deal with, people would think it would be anger or depression or sadness or something like that, but I believe that the two emotions that are most difficult are disappointment and powerlessness.
Listening to you talk, it's got to, as a psychologist, people come to you for solutions. It's got to be tough when you tell someone, look, don't keep beating yourself up.
Yeah, I mean, what I have this, one of the quotes in my book, I use other people's quotes in my book for each tip, for each chapter. And one of the quotes is by Robert Heinlein, who's a great, excellent science fiction writer who wrote Stranger in a Strange Land, and if anybody's listening who hasn't read it, go get it. It's fabulous. But his quote is, never try to teach a pig to sing. It's a waste of your time, and it annoys the pig.
Right.
So, you know, it's just, it's not possible to have power over another person. Even if you, I mean, I'm not really talking about if you have a gun pointed to somebody's head. That's a little bit different. But right. Even then we have choices, you know, and we are not in control of other people. We are only in control of ourselves. So, you know, the thing to remember is that if somebody's ready to get help, you can help them. If they're not ready to get help, help yourself. Get your own life back. Stop being addicted to somebody else's addiction.
Have you run into people,
we're running short on time. I want to get this question out. Point number five. If the addict or alcoholic is likely to become abusive during the holidays, you find that people get into a cycle where every holiday becomes turmoil, but yet an but they keep doing the same thing over. They keep inviting the individual, hoping that that turmoil is not going to be there.
Sure, and you know, the 12-step definition of insanity is that we keep doing the same things over and over again, expecting different results.
And that happens to families. I mean, families get together, and you hear from families, and it's the same situation with each family gathering.
That's right. I just finished with a client just a little while ago who's going through this with her son, and one of the things that I really like to use, if your audience watches Dr. Phil on TV, if anybody ever watches him, I mean, you know, he sometimes I get mad at him for the things that he says, but sometimes he says some really good things. And one of the things he says, he's got this wonderful question. He says, "How's that been working for you?" Right? So when I say that to people, when he says it and when I say it, most of the time people say, not very well. So the next question is, would you like to do something different?
Candace, we got
And people say yes. They just don't know what to do differently.
That leads me into my last question. We got about a minute. I hate to cut you short. I can imagine seeing you in the office must go so quickly.
Yeah.
but real quick, if somebody wants to start beginning to establish the boundaries that you write about in this article, establishing boundaries, where do they go?
Well, yeah, I mean, they need to find out what their own boundaries are, because that might be different from one person to another loved one, from one loved one to another. So they need to figure out what their boundaries are that they can actually maintain, because that's an important part of setting boundaries. You got to be able to maintain them. Don't cave once you've set them, because, you know, the addict is going to keep pushing knowing that you'll cave. And if you don't know what your boundaries are, then I would suggest that you do reach out for some help. You can find a therapist who's working with this kind of thing. You can go to something like Al-Anon. There isn't a lot of help out there, but some of the treatment centers in your area may have family programs.
Candace Platter. Real quick, I have to get it out. PrescriptionDictionRadio.com, PrescriptionDictionRadio.com. Candace Platter. Go to the website. Go to the guest page. You'll find Candace. Candace, thanks so much for being with us tonight.
You're welcome, Larry. My pleasure.